Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Basket of Phelps. We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. The gentleman who called the Browns game against the Dallas Cowboys joins us right now. He's Mr. Andrew Siciliano. Hello, Andrew.
Andrew.
Good morning, guys. It's Wednesday, new week, start anew, new beginnings, fresh cup of coffee. How are you guys?
That's what I said about the game with Dallas. Okay, they didn't look good. It didn't go well. The offense didn't look good. The defense gave up a couple of big drives early. Okay, you lose a game, fine. But you better play well at Jacksonville. I think you can lose and play well and still be okay, Andrew. What do you think?
Let's just say this.
We all know what we want, but
yeah,
you know, they've got to look better.
The Jaguars are a good team, okay? We saw that last year when the Jaguars came to Cleveland, and you know, the Browns needed a great big David Bell fourth down play, and welcome back to the roster, David Bell, this morning as well.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence was banged up. That was Joe Flacco. Okay, look, a lot was different back then, but Jacksonville is still a team that I think plenty of people picked to make the postseason. I don't know if some people thought the Texans would take a step backwards, but regardless, this is a good team with playoff aspirations, and they're in their home opener. I mean, that's all you got to know. Good team, playoff aspirations, home opener, who, if not for the Travis Etienne fumble going in, were really taking it to the Dolphins. And then, of course, Miami turns it right around with the explosive to Tyreek, and he's still faster than you are, and all of a sudden the game turned upside down. But this was a team that was in Miami doing the thing to the Dolphins, and it all fell apart. So this is not a pushover. It's going to be hot. It's one of those humid weeks in Jacksonville all week where it's like 90 during the day, and then there's a thunderstorm at 4 o'clock. I mean, it's typical Florida weather. You got to be ready for the heat. Certainly, I mean, it felt like fall in Cleveland this past week, and you guys know this, you know, early on Saturday, Sunday morning, it's like 48, 49 degrees.
It was
right?
Chilly. It was chilly.
It felt glorious, by the way. I mean, from what I had just had in Oregon the day before, where it was at kickoff at 7 o'clock, you know, 90 and hazy from wildfires. Nice. That weather was glorious. You're going to get hot and humid and sticky in Jacksonville against a team in its home opener that is also trying to bounce back. So, yeah, be ready.
Give me a quick fix for this week that can change things. I mean, and another part of it, Andrew, is how good was Dallas last week? How good is Dallas going to be this season? Because I think a lot of times we sit here and we just dwell on the Browns and we forget about the opponent. And then all of a sudden, whoa, wait a minute. They are really good. I'm on that 3 weeks from now that I'm like, okay, now I get it.
The other team's well compensated as well, and they have talented players, and certainly that goes for the Cowboys. Listen, my thing with the Cowboys is always they're going to be good in September, much like the Dolphins. They show me something in January, like the results for the Cowboys and the Dolphins, most notably, I think, among the other 31, are I'm not impressed with what you do in September. I'm only impressed what you do come postseason. But, I mean, there's a reason that Dak and CeeDee Lamb and Zach Martin make all that money. They have a good team. Now, defensively, you knew you're going to get them turned up in Mike Zimmer's first game. I just said turned. Just like
and
the
nice job, man.
Were last year in Jim Schwartz's first game against the Bengals. That's what you saw from that team. Clearly, if you go back and watch the game, there's a laundry list of things the Browns need to do better. You can't have your quarterback hit 16 times. Some of them, was it Deshaun holding the ball too long? Sure. Some of it was the O-line. Absolutely. Was it all James Hudson? No. So you got to fix those things. And the pre-snap penalties and the whole, like, that stuff's got to go, period. And I'm not saying anything that they don't know. I'm not trying to hammer anyone. This isn't personal. They know that. Everyone who saw the tape knows that. Now, that said, you know, the game's kind of a blur, and then you go back and watch it. It's going to sound like I'm excuse-making. I'm not. You go back to the first quarter. Deshaun, quick feet, balls out. Quick feet, balls out. Could have, should have had pass interference on the slant to Amari with the rookie Kalen Carson on his back. Amari couldn't hang on to that one. Carson, a rookie, got the call. Cooper, the veteran, did not. It should have been P.I. I'm not saying the game changes there. A couple of drops, whether it's Njoku in space or whether it's Judy who got popped by Donovan Wilson. Credit to Donovan Wilson there. Holds on to that. I don't know. Like, it's funny when you go back and you see the Judy touchdown, then they get three and out. It's 27-17. You get the ball back. And even with the oboe penalty on the punt return, they immediately get an illegal contact on the Cowboys. So it's not the same yardage, but you kind of get rid of the illegal the oboe punt return punt return penalty. And you're like, all right, get something going here, and we got a game, and they just couldn't. And that's what was disheartening.
Andrew Siciliano joining us, did his usual fine work calling the game on the Browns Radio Network. Browns against the Cowboys, week two coming up in Jacksonville. Riddle me this one, my friend. I know the Browns had to play some catch-up, but the game didn't really get away from them until early in the third quarter. I was surprised that running backs had only 14 carries in the game. And I was surprised we didn't see Deontay Foreman at least carrying
the
football.
We did not see him until late. Yeah.
He didn't have a carry.
Until late. Yeah. I'm surprised as well. And Nathan pointed that out to his credit repeatedly during the broadcast. It certainly did off the air, on the air. I think he did as well. I would like to see a little bit more of him. Honestly, I would love to see Pierre Strong running wide. Get that guy in space. You know, get that
like
guy
him.
tiptoeing in open space on the boundary and see if he could break one. Listen, it's tough to really get a grasp on it all because you know that, and we saw this plenty, the offense is going to go a lot more shotgun, a lot more empty. That's the wrinkle Ken Dorsey brings, whether it's the RPO game or just spreading the field a little bit more. But at the same time, you want to establish the run, and you fall in a hole on Sunday, and then who are you at that point? Well, you got to throw the ball. Yet in the third quarter, they did run it almost every first play of every possession. So you need to establish the run, yet you want this offense to spread it out a little bit more and be dynamic, and then you fall in a hole, and then you're kind of stuck at that point. Doug Peterson about 10 minutes ago was just asked, do you expect to see the same kind of offense you saw last year in Cleveland, where they still want to run the ball first? And he paused for a second and he went, yeah. So, you know, go back to what Wyatt Teller said last week. We're still the fighting Stefanskis. They still have to find themselves offensively.
That was a great line by Wyatt, by the way.
It was good.
The fighting Stefanskis. That's fabulous.
I know I'm rambling here, guys. But no, you know me well enough, that's what I do.
I don't know. I'm still trying to decipher what I thought of the defense last week. First of all, they were on the field forever in that first half. I mean, it was 2-1 time-wise. At one point, it was 3-1 before the Browns got the ball at the end of the first half. So, I'm like, grayed out the defense for me just from the naked eye for what you thought. Because I don't think the defense was horrible, but there's obviously room to grow.
Yeah, look, let's go back to the first touchdown, the ball down the sideline to CeeDee Lamb. That's a hell of a play by CeeDee Lamb and a hell of a throw by Dak. That's one where you said before you tipped the cap to those two. Denzel was on him, you know, didn't get around in time, and CeeDee made a great catch. The Brandon Cooks touchdown was a miscommunication, and he got by Thornhill, who now you're without Juan Thornhill now moving forward because he got placed on IR this morning. And, that's a busted coverage. Cooks gets the touchdown. Whether it was, whether or not he thought he had Emerson there, I don't know. That's not for me to say. But there were plenty of three and outs in that game. There were plenty of times, even in the third quarter, where that defense gave you a three and out to do something with. Did they get to the quarterback enough? No. They set the tone early with Dalvin Tomlinson running his helmet through Dak's chest. Miles got to Dak and got credit for that sack, which I thought was an incompletion. I thought they got that call totally wrong, but that's just me. Miles will take the sack. But you got to get there. more frequently, clearly. And they got tired at the end. And, yeah, the Cowboys are able to get some gains on the ground at the end of the game and help eat the clock.
Andrew Siciliano joining us. He's the man who's calling the play-by-play on the Browns Radio Network. And he'll be in Jacksonville coming up on Sunday as the Browns play game number two. You think we'll see Kadarius Toney in uniform anytime soon? And what do you think of the move, Andrew? Andy and I talked about it earlier. I like bringing him in to take a look. You're more familiar with him as a player than the rest of us. What'd you think of the move?
He is a dynamic playmaker who has never been able to find a home. Put it this way, I'm all for a fresh start, and I'm going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. I have not talked to Kadarius since the Senior Bowl when he was coming out of Florida. The Giants moved on pretty quickly, obviously. You know, there's some issues with him tweeting at fans and getting defensive and whatever. They moved on pretty quickly. He certainly had some moments in Kansas City where you're like, wow, that's that first round talent. There's a reason that the Giants took him in the first round out of Florida. That guy is a dynamic playmaker. And then there's the Travis Kelce lateral, you know, that got wiped off because Kadarius Toney lined up offsides. Well, you know, there's that guy as well. So depends how you use him. As a punt returner, I think he could be special. Yeah. Yeah, look, he can be electric. How much you're going to rely on him offensively, I wouldn't bet.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On too much, at least initially.
Andrew, you have a college game this week?
I do not, no.
Oh, get some sleep. Enjoy the game. Sit back and watch them.
Next 2 weeks.
I know. I'm excited for your next one. Okay. Right?
I am as well.
Have we announced this or no? Is this official?
No, I'll let it, guys. You're acting like I'm calling like the Rose Bowl or something.
Doesn't matter. It's close. Hey, no, it could be half of the Rose Bowl some years.
It could be. Yeah. No. It's a CFP. I'll let NBC do it in 2 weeks.
Let NBC announce it. Okay.
Oh, look, perfect example.
Right.
Last year, I thought I was doing, and you know how schedules change, guys.
Right.
I thought I was doing one game, and then you find out 10 days later you're doing another game.
Yeah. I got
so
it.
that can change.
All right. I won't. Jinx a game.
Tentatively speaking.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys are making
rhymes
it
with
like
Marshall.
It's not game 7 of the World Series. Yeah.
It's still a big game around.
You know,
here. Doesn't matter.
Andrew, you want to let your employers announce it, and Andy's doing everything except saying what you're doing.
Well, he kind of did.
I mean, come on, man.
Well, I will say this. I believe game 7 of the World Series would be during that Browns 3-game homestand. So let's get ready for that.
See, there you go.
See? All right. So, see, he's got a planner.
Got to like that.
He's good like that. He's
got to like that a lot.
Yes.
What about the guys on defense who are suddenly on the IL? How big of a concern is this? Diabate, Fields, Hurst, Thornhill. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean,
that's painful.
You're kind of sort of thin at linebacker to begin with. And, yeah, that is a huge blow. Special teams as well, especially with those two guys at linebacker. Maurice Hurst is such a huge piece rotationally into the middle of that defensive front. That's a tough one. And look, Thornhill, again, you didn't get a full season of Juan Thornhill last year, and it looks like you're not going to get a full season now. Caps can be tricky. I don't know the details. We'll hear from Stefanski coming up in about a half hour. But, yeah, not ideal. When you hear calf, not ideal. And also, guys, let's go back. This team was thin at tight end to begin with, right? So losing to Joku, considering how much – you talk about the offense not getting on the same page. The one guy that Deshaun Watson was seemingly connecting with repeatedly, and as I've said, I am kind of behind the eight ball here because I was doing the Olympics the entire summer, was David Njoku in training camp. So that's a big blow.
Good job on Sunday. We look forward to your work in game two in Jacksonville. Thanks,
yeah,
buddy.
We need to step it up a little on Fact or Fiction, though, man. Got to step. You know, we watch in the family. So
hey, I think you kind of misread your own question
on the last one.
Yeah,
it's not my question. Oh, okay. I'm not writing those questions.
Gibby wrote it?
Yeah.
Gibby wrote it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I tried to make it easier. I tried to put it in human terms. That's where I'm doing on-the-fly editing. It helps if I prep, that would help too. So
then I was wrong for calling you out.
Oh, that's okay.
It's always good to call him out.
I didn't sleep, and nor did I realize you called me out until 2 seconds ago, because that's the nature.
Co-host jab. That's all.
That's fine. You can do that. That's what Fact or Fiction's all about. We just rip each other.
I don't know that you got that one right. I'm like, are you sure you got your own question right?
Oh, no. I'm sure I got it wrong. I'm good with that. I live this life. This is who I am. I'm
13 years in.
Yeah. It's not a big deal.
Also, Phelps, sorry for not properly tossing it to halftime. I had to throw in the radio network part of the end. That was on me. That's 5 yards on me.
I thought you did a fabulous job.
Is it, again, Andrew, things that neither one of us thought about?
At the end of the half, I blew the toss.
Oh, man.
Okay, listen, dude. You did a fine job. Don't worry about the minutia.
I mean, Andrew, I'm most disappointed in you for not sliding in a Tribe Called Quest reference in your broadcast.
There you go.
That's
the disappointment level I have. Yeah.
You guys were playing the music coming in as always. I was thinking then what would be a good Tribe Called Quest football.
I mean, get Nathan to go with you on Point to Fife all the time tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. That's okay.
If Fife's got enough football references, you could find some.
He does. I got to dig some up. I'll dig some up. We'll try to work some in.
All right. You're the legend.
Thanks, buddy.
Half percent of our audience that cares. But Tribe Called Quest going into the hall before the Bengals home game the night before.
Will you be there?
Yes, I want to. I haven't gotten that far, but it would be nice. I'll try it. Yes.
Very nice.
See you, dude.
Goodbye.
Talk to you later.
Later.
Good night now.
Andrew Siciliano on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.